Love Talk Radio.
By telling me that he's admonishing us to be a good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So we understand that there's going to be times where we struggle, where we fight, where we believe God, but there are times that the enemy will come in like a flood. But even in that, God has us. And we're going to see through the scripture, not just necessarily from what we talk about on Sunday, because that woman, Pastor, that woman had a "it is well" in her spirit. And her struggle was over because she had already parked there. She had already made up in her mind. She had a set mind that it was well, that I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't even know why he's going to do it. But I know God will do it. Sort of like the three Hebrew boys. They said, we don't know if he's going to deliver us from the fiery furnace or if he's not going to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But our God is able.
Amen.
So sometimes, beloved, all we have is that knowing that God is able. He's the sovereign God. So let's look at the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the 25th chapter, verse number 21, as we continue to talk about the struggle is over. And it says this, Genesis 25, verse 21, the struggle is over. It says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. God bless. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled, say struggle, church. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I like this? And she went to inquire or ask of the Lord. He said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from your womb. And the one shall be stronger than the other people, and the older shall serve the younger. And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and they named him Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when they were born. Here we have an account of the son of Abraham, Isaac, the miracle baby. Now Isaac and Rebekah are about to bear a child. Rebekah's womb is barren. She cannot have a baby. Her husband goes to the Lord on her behalf, and God opens up her womb. And while she is carrying, while she has conceived, while she is pregnant, there's something going on in her belly. There's something happening in her stomach. There's a struggle. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
These boys are struggling in the womb. And God sometimes allows you and I to go back in perspective and in perception of seeing sometimes how even today, how from the womb, or even our early childhood experience, how things impact us even now, today. So when I'm talking about the struggle being over, we're going to see through scripture how the struggle could be over, because here it is, and I'm going to talk about it more tonight, but the struggle stops when salvation starts. I'm getting happy, but calm down. The struggle stops when salvation starts. Just write that down. The struggle stops when salvation starts. And that's what we're talking about. When we get with Jesus, the struggle is over. And we're going to see how, as we look at the life of Jacob, we're going to stay in Genesis just for a minute, especially for the early part of this lesson. But some of us, and many of us, struggle with so many things in life. But God is saying, that battle is not yours, it belongs to me. And when we surrender, all to God, we're going to see through the life of Jacob. When we give it to God, things begin to happen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now watch this. Gold, we're still looking at Jacob, but we see from the very beginning there was a struggle with the twins. There was a struggle with Jacob and Esau. We're going to look again at Jacob in more detail, but now go to Genesis chapter number 28. This is going to be our main emphasis tonight. I'm not going to stay here all night, but I can say so much from here what I'm about to read. Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. We're going to start at verse number 11. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. Genesis 28, verse number 11. And it says this. I'm going to read kind of fast because there's some things I want to get to tonight. And he landed upon a certain place, and he tarried there all the night, because the sun was now set, and he took stones or rocks, and he placed them there. And he put them as a pillow for his head, and he lay down in that place and went to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder upon the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven, and behold, angels of God ascended and descended upon him. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord your God, of Abraham your father, and of Isaac your father, and the land whereon you lie, this will I give to you and your seed. Verse number 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. He's making a covenant with Jacob now, like he did with Isaac and Abraham. And you shall spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And in thy seed shall all the families be blessed. Verse 15, and behold, I am with you. I will keep you in all the places that you go. And I will bring you again into this land. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. I love it. We're going to talk about that. And Jacob woke up out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and we're going to stop right there. And Jacob was afraid. Let me just get some insight on what's going on here. Jacob had now stolen his brother's birthright, Esau. Esau came in from the field, and Esau was fast and hungry, and he said to Jacob, give me some of your soup. And he said, no, I'm not going to give it to you. He said, sell me your birthright first. Now, we knew how God blessed Abraham with the riches of Abimelech, the riches of Pharaoh. Abraham was blessed even from his father, Terah. So his grandfather had great wealth, cattle and stock and oxen in great substance. So Jacob and Esau knew they were going to inherit a lot. Are y'all with me? Now his father Isaac sold in the famine, and the Bible says he reached 100-fold, which added to the blessing of Abraham. And Jacob still saw, through his mother Rebecca, the need to manipulate and steal his brother's birthright. But now that he has done this, Esau is a little upset. Come on. So now Jacob is by himself. He's alone, number one. And number two, he's afraid. Because, you know, Esau now has an army. Esau is a warrior, and Esau is a fighter. So not only is he on the run from his brother, he's alone. And he falls asleep, and he has a dream. Say dream. He has a dream, and sometimes God is just saying to us, in our social media age, it is so hard to get along with God. Can I get an amen anyway? You try to get along with God, and here comes a chime. Here comes a bell. Here comes a text. Here comes an alert. Can I get an amen? In our social media age, here comes an invite. Here comes a warning. And we're trying to be with God, but our minds are so easily distracted and taken away. And God is saying, sometimes I need you to be alone. Sometimes I need you to be in solitude so I can speak to you. And now Jacob is alone, and he has a dream. that sometimes have felt forsaken by God. And my problem was sometimes questioning God, are you there? Do you see what they're doing to me? Do you see and realize what I'm walking through? Oh God, what I'm going through right now, do you care? Even Jesus said, come on, sir. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus himself felt forsaken by God. Now Jacob is alone, but God speaks to him through a dream. Oh my God, I don't forget being unsaved at 13 years old. She's going to school. And I'm there in a hard place. Like Jacob is right here in a hard place. So much so that he's not sleeping on his own pillow, Pastor. His head is laying on his stone. That's a hard place. And as I was in my hard place, I can see God saying now. As those angels descended and left him. Y'all know the other term for angels is called what? Messengers. They refer to as messengers. Y'all remember the sitcom, Touched by an Angel? I love that show. Monica would be just a regular person. But when Monica had a message from whoever God sent her to, she would light up. And yes, Jonathan would light up. And then he had his death angel, I forgot his name. But Touched by an Angel was a great show. And even as angels ascended and descended, I can see God at age 30, because I don't know where this song came from, but I woke up one day and said, Mom, I'm going to church. But God said, hallelujah, I got this. You go out there and touch Andy. Gabriel, Michael, or whoever y'all go out there and get him on from that pool, because I have a plan for his life. And the angel probably touched me that night, because I don't know what the thought of going to church. I don't know where it came from. When I laid my head down that night, I didn't think about church at all. But when I got up in the morning, I said, Mom, I'm going to church. And my life ain't been the same. Glory be to God. I'm so glad God thought about me. My story came over in that moment. Because I realized in my word that God is concerned about those who are lost. God is concerned about those who need a Savior. Y'all remember Mary Magdalene? Hallelujah. Seven demons were cast out of her, but God didn't forget the glory of God, the woman of God that he wanted to be part of his body. There's another Mary that wept, and she dried off her tears with her hair, and she anointed the body of Jesus with a precious ointment. And people in that day said if Jesus knew the kind of woman she was, hallelujah, he would not even have a discord with her. I'm so glad and worthy of God. God is dead, concerned about those who need a Savior. He's concerned about that time. He's concerned about the rehab of our day. Amen, somebody. He's concerned about the lady of the night. He's concerned about the addict. He's concerned about the pedophile and the murderer. Our God does not want people to struggle their entire life. The struggle really can't be over. But we gotta allow God to do a work. And that work is gonna bring you a certain level of appreciation. But Jacob, I need to do something even greater. I need to work on your character. Church, God wants to work on our character more than anything. The church has made a great mistake. Sometimes we preach house and car, something and something, but integrity goes unnoticed and unchanged. God wants to change us from the inside out. So I can relate, and I'm so glad as a man like Jacob in my Bible, a liar, a manipulator, a trickster, a deceiver, who God is about to change. Because Jacob is struggling. That's not who he was. His mother promoted that. Go get him to see dad. Put a fake hair on your arm. Tell dad that you're Esau. Deceive our father and let us lay hands on you and give you the blessing. And Jacob deceived his father through his mother's advice. Watch who you're listening to, church. We got to watch who we listen to who have our ears. Look at now Genesis chapter number 32. right here and still look at the life of Jacob, because God wants to work on his character. Genesis 32, verse number 24. Because if we want it, God wants to ask us tonight how bad we want what we say we want. There's some things we are going to have to struggle for. There's some things we're going to have to fight for. There's some things that we're going to have to battle for. And the day of God outmoded. Amen. If it doesn't come passively, if it doesn't come simply, if it doesn't come easily, I'm going to fight for what God has for me. Hallelujah. Genesis 32, verse number 24 says this. And Jacob was left alone. There he is by himself again. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. There's a struggle going on. The struggle is over, but in the natural, there's a struggle going on. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And here he is, and he wrestled with the man again. And he said, let me go for the daybreaker. And he said, here's the struggle. I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. The old man is still in charge. That old nation is still ruling, but I want to change it. I'm going to wrestle with you, God, because I know it's better than me. I know it's greater than me. I know I have potential and possibilities that I'm child. I understand God is better to me than what we see God. I get it, God, now that I know that you have a plan for my life. Verse number 27. And he said to him, your name is in verse 28. And he said, your name shall be called no more. No more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power that you have prevailed. You struggle with God, and you struggle with man, and you have prevailed. One of the things that the enemy is so out, please hear me out on this one, is our new identity. Our new identity in Christ is everything. Rebecca Thomas, you may not know who that is. Rebecca Thomas. But Rebecca Thomas is in the sanctuary, and when she's now Rebecca Simmons. Come on. Same identity, different name. And we're the same people, glory to his name. But now we have a new identity in Christ. So when we talk about the struggle being over, it's not our battle to fight. It's now Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's now more of God, but Christ in me that lives. That's why the Bible says we are to die daily to our own self. The only way new wives will come in is we get rid of the old wives. I don't know what I'm going to do today, but I had so much trouble in my mind. I had so much bad memories going on. And sometimes people don't realize when the bad memories come, sometimes bad behavior follows. And God is saying there are many struggles that we do not have to struggle with anymore, but one thing we have to do is change the way that we think.
Amen.
When we change our thinking, we change our blessing. When we change the way that we think, we change the outcomes that we're getting. It bothers me. Sometimes when people say, I want to change, but I don't see any change in it. I don't know how to change. No submission. It's just plain old submitting to God. Because I don't even know how to be a father. I see so many men who sometimes don't know their identity, but one thing I did know, that's just really because of my mother raising 8 kids not fast enough, when it was up to me to take my boys in, there was not a question, my wife didn't verify, there was not a question that I was not going to provide for them. I was not going to run from my responsibility. But guess what? That was in me in the natural. Come on. through the life of Jacob, why you have to work, why you must work, why you must allow God to use you in the natural and in the supernatural. Are y'all with me? Look right here at Genesis, glory be to God. Genesis, we're still in Genesis. Look at Genesis 31. Genesis 31. Genesis 31. Hallelujah. Genesis 31, just one verse. Verse number 41. We're getting out of Genesis in a minute. I'm going to go somewhere else. But I wanted to see what God was doing from where he met the angels, where God descended and ascended, and God saw him through a dream and allowed him to have that place of aloneness in a meeting with God. You don't have to realize that you're alone. You no longer have to be afraid. And then we see in Genesis chapter number 32, he's wrestling for the blessing. But there's a 20-year journey. There's a 20-year journey from when he deceived his brother until when his name is now Israel, the new Jacob. But watch this. Watch this, right? Watch this. 31:41. What did I say? 31:41. The term karma, and people use these terms, what goes around comes around. People use, you know, you won't get what you give, and all this stuff, but we simply call it the law of reciprocity as a biblical term. You will reap what you sow.
Amen.
You sow and you will reap. Amen. Let's watch. Why could it be that Jacob wanted to change so desperately? Genesis 31:41 says this. Thus have I been 21 years in your house. He's talking to Laban, his uncle. This is blood. I served you for 14 years, working for both your daughters, and 6 years for the cattle and the chain and for your cattle, and right here. And you have changed my wages 10 times. He said, I thought I was a lying deceiver, but Uncle Laban, you are with me. You are, but I am already admitted. You being ungodly, you being unlawful, you being a liar above a liar, you being a deceiver above deceivers. I thought I was something messing with my brother's birthright, but you have allowed me first to deceive you with your brother Leah before we were Rachel, and I wake up with Leah, and I worked 7 years. I worked 7 years. Lady, the man supposed to work. He worked to get Leah. He worked to get Leah. He worked to take care of Leah. And we want to work to take care of our lives. And then he tricked them. And he said, okay, then Leah, I'm not bad at it. I just didn't see you, but I apologize. If you work another 7 years, I know how much you love Rachel. I know how much you want her. And the Bible says, hallelujah. The 14 years that it took felt like 14 days. That's how much you love Rachel. That's how much you want Rachel. That's how hard his heart was for Rachel. And he worked 7 years for Leah, another 7 years for Rachel, and now he has 2 wives. And he's telling Laban, Laban tricked him again. I'm going to give you cattle. I'm going to put you in a good place. I'm going to give you money. And he said, even after the 21 years, you changed my pay 10 different times. And I'm not struggling. God, I repent. God, I'm sorry. I know I'm getting what I did out. But Lord, I want to change. That anybody that wants to change. And then anyone, glory to God, that wants a new way of doing life. There's so many that sometimes we don't know how to laugh, we don't know how to live, we don't know how to love, because sometimes we've been molded and shaped into this person that we're really not. So when God comes to give us a new identity in Christ, that's why every scripture from Genesis to Revelation says this, we often not just be made new by the transforming of our mind, but Romans, Corinthians, Revelation, Genesis says we ought to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus. That's the objective. They have a badge or a little slogan now. What would Jesus do? WWJD. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? And God is saying to us, the struggle becomes over when we stop grieving the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, because the counselor, the comforter, the spirit of truth will lead us and guide us and direct us. Are y'all still with me? Let's look at some other scriptures tonight on why the struggle is over. When I say at salvation, the struggle stops. Acts chapter number 9. Looking at the life of Paul, whose name is Saul at this moment. He's not Paul when we start to read. But by the time we finish, God has changed his identity. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1. Right there it says that his name is not yet Paul. It's S-A-U-L, not P-A-U-L yet. Here it is, Acts chapter number 9, verse number 1. It says this, church. And Saul again, reading out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, to the churches, that he did not honor Christians or any other way, whether they were men or women, he didn't care about gender, he might bring them in bond to Jerusalem. He was going to lock them up for practicing Christianity. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus. And suddenly, the sign brought upon him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard to kick or to struggle against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished at the Lord, what must I do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go to the city, and I shall show you what you must do. Saul is thinking that he's doing a good deed for God. Saul is going to point, persecute these people who are talking about this Jesus. I'm a Pharisee. I know the Torah, I know the Bible. I'm studying the law. I'm a master of the law. I am a rabbi. I am a high priest. I understand there is no Messiah, and the Messiah has to come to Paul directly. Glory be to God. You're struggling. You're struggling with me, Jesus. Because you said, Who are you, Lord? Yes, you're struggling with me. Get out of my way. Glory be to God. And get out of your own way. Because I want to use you to bring the Gentiles into the new, hallelujah, into the new work that I'm doing things, into the new work of where I'm doing things. Yes, first to the Jew, but now to the Gentiles. I'm so glad he opened the door to the Gentiles. I'm so glad he didn't know my ethnicity is not Jew. Hallelujah. I'm not from Israel, but God has opened the door to the Gentiles. He has opened the door to heaven to the Gentiles, to the unbelievers, hallelujah, to the heathen. God has opened the door. And go through Paul. Watch this conversation. I'm going to continue to read. Watch the conversation that he has with his servant Ananias. Ananias is a servant, a prophet of God. Watch this verse number 7. As we talk about struggling, even Ananias has a little struggle with God there. Whoa, God, do you not know? Verse number 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing his voice, but seeing no man. And Saul, not yet Paul, arose from the earth, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no man. He was blind. And he had it, they put him in, and they brought him to his master. And he was 3 days without sight. 3 days he was blind. He did not drink and he did not eat. But now he's blind, cannot see. Verse number 10. And there was a certain disciple of the master, a town at night. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here I am. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at in the house of Judas about one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed for something serious. And he has seen a vision through his prayer. A man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Here's the struggle Ananias had. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to the saints of Jerusalem. And he has authority even now from the chief priests to bind up all that call on the name of the Lord. Verse 15. Jesus said, Ananias, now don't you act crazy. Don't you struggle with me. Verse 15. But the Lord said to him, Go your way. This is a command now. For he has been made a chosen vessel for me to bear my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the children of Israel. For I will show him how great a thing he must suffer for my name's sake. People of God, please understand, when we put suffering in the right perspective, we are in a good place. As a believer, every now and again, you're going to suffer. As a believer, every now and again, you're going to struggle. As a believer, every now and again, you're going to go through. But God says, for my name's sake, you can deal with the struggle. For my name's sake, I'm going to pull you through. That's why I have to show you, like I was with Jacob, like I was with Moses, like I was with Joseph, I'm with you and you and you and you. I'm going to be with you all the days of your life. Yes, there's a struggle. Yes, there's a battle. Yes, there's contention. Yes, there's a war. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not carnal. Our brothers are not carnal. But they're reminding us of God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, we wrestle not against people. So when your boss come against you, when your co-workers come against you, when your neighbor's acting crazy, when the girls is hating on you, and the young men are hating on you, believe me, it's not them, it's the Spirit working through them. It's a demonic force working through them. Even the gospel writer John said it like this. The Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is even here today in your world. I want to get all of our struggles, but I just need you to write these down. The seven weapons of our warfare are not common, but they're mighty to God that are pulling down the strongholds. Just write these seven weapons down. Number one, the name of Jesus is a weapon. The name of Jesus is a weapon. He said, my name has authority. I have to give the name above every name. The Holy Spirit instructed Mary to name him Jesus. He would be the Savior, the Messiah. Number two, the Word. The Word. The Word of God is a weapon. The name of Jesus is a weapon, and the Word of God is a weapon. We got to fight with the Word. We got to meditate on the Word. We have to remember the Word. He says in Joshua chapter number 1, meditate on the Word day and night, you will find good success. And Psalm number 1, he said, everything your hand touch will prosper. If you meditate on the Word day and night, how can I go to work? How can I meditate on the Word day and night? That means you go around the scriptures in your mind. Even while you're at work, meditate on scriptures. Go to the scriptures that you know. Memorize some of it. Remember some of it. Write some of it. Say it out loud. That means you're meditating on the Word. It's getting down to your psyche. It's getting down to your spirit. You're downloading new information, and that becomes a weapon. Glory be to God. That becomes a weapon that you fight with. We can't put our hands on people. This battle is not a natural battle. That struggle is over. We don't have to fight in the natural. That struggle is over. But you fight with your spiritual weapons, the name and the word and the blood of Jesus, the blood and the weapon. The cross of our God. The blood is a weapon. Plead the blood of Jesus on your child. Plead the blood of Jesus on your mind. Plead the blood of Jesus over sickness and disease. Allow the blood, which will never lose its power, it's because of the shed blood that grace has been made available. And now we have access through faith is what? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So when we say plead the blood, we're supposed to remind ourselves what happened at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Because of the shed blood, healing has been made available. Because of the shed blood, prosperity has been made available. Because of the shed blood, deliverance has been made available. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, poverty, which is a curse, poverty is so destructive. It's a curse. What do you mean it's a curse? If I'm a law, and I have a car, you're a law, and you have an automobile, guess what? You don't have to steal my automobile. We're dwelling in peace with one another. But if I'm forced and got into a corner because of oppression, because of racism, because of bigotry, because of the ins and outs of the systematic, whatever you want to call it, now I'm oppressed. I have a different record. Now you think it's always impossible for me to land back on my feet. Come on. I'm a high school dropout. Now it's almost impossible. But no. When Jesus, the reason he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly with me, I give you favor. Now I'm playing those levels again. Glory be to God. That struggle is over. We have no excuses. We have no more reasons. There's no more self-conscious. There's no more prison. He said, I came to set the captives free. I came to get you out of that bondage. Yeah, it can be oppression. Yeah, it can be a systematic racism. Yeah, it can be whatever you want to call it. It can be people coming against you because of your agenda. But God said, neither female or male, neither a bond or slave. Young or old, black or white, it doesn't matter. That struggle is over when you say yes to God. When we say yes to God, he was telling Ananias, Paul is going to submit to me. Jacob is going to submit to me. Those who submit to me, I'll make their name greater. But those who don't submit to me, their struggle is not yet over. I said, those who don't submit to God, their struggle is not yet over. That's why that woman, you know, God answers sometimes our prayers that we forgot about. This woman probably kept looking in that extra bedroom saying, that's going to be my baby bedroom. That's going to be the room that I prepare when I have a baby. That's going to be the nursery. That's going to be this, that, and the other. We got more than enough room. And year after year after year, until her womb was dead, where she could not have a baby, she looked at that room, and she did not go to the bar. What do you mean she didn't go to the bar? B-A-R, acronym. She did not get bitter. She did not get angry. She did not get resentful. She did not get bitter. She did not get angry. She did not become resentful. That's the bar that I'm talking about. But she looked at that guest room, and she said, I perceive he's the man of God. And because we don't have a child, we don't need no extra room, I'm going to give it to that man of God when he comes, and he's going to have a nice place to reside. He's doing the work of the Lord. And the Bible said, because of her good deed, the man of God said, what do you need? You see why church is always good to be a blessing? It's always, I think we're in the world of takers. We're in a world where people are it's kind of hard to give when you don't have a lot. But the word says, give and it shall be given to you. So the principle, when we practice this principle, when I give, and I thank God my wife and I are givers. But I got it again in the natural because my mother was on food stamps growing up. And even being on food stamps, once she shopped on a kid, there were heroin addicts on the block, there were people who were addicted, there were ex-cons, there was a homeless, and my mother was throwing my apple, my orange, my to feed them because they were hungry, and she was brought out of the room, out of the window, feeding some of the naked women and kids because she was a giver. And because she was a giver, we never want for nothing. Glory be to God. We never went for anything. Even with the law. And we broke off some eggs from this coffee. I broke off some eggs. Go borrow a cup of sugar from this oven. I go borrow a cup of sugar. Go borrow some bread. And go borrow some flour from this oven. I go borrow. And if you give us that thing, and you pay them back for food. Come on, somebody. My mother wanted for nothing. Glory be to God. Because she was a giver. And then because she was a giver, here comes one brand new car. Thank you, her second husband. Thank you, another brand new car. Thank you, her second husband. And then we're going to the bottom of this good because she was a giver. And God took care of my mom and my 9 years and her 8 kids because she was a giver. And the word is give, and then she'll give it back to the giver. Good friends of the rest of the house, taken together, running over, shall people give back to you. And I tell you, we as good as kids. I remember my child, so when my boys would come in my pocket, they'd be looking around, I'd be like, don't even try. We are on the top floor. It'd be hard to be up here. Glory be to God. It's a joke. I had good friends. But we did have a nice apartment because God took care of my mama in her latter years. Amen. Look at right here. To God be glory. Hallelujah. We're going to wrap up soon, but the struggle being over, there's one scripture that I need to get to tonight, and I need to find it. I stopped at the blood. Look at this. I got so caught up. Number four, prayer. Number four is prayer. Number five, your testimony. Number five, your testimony. Number six, a pure heart is a weapon. Six is a pure heart. Prayer goes without saying. We pray every Tuesday night, but prayer is a weapon. Your testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word by testimony. Can't nobody have your testimony like you got your testimony. You know what God did for you. You know just how far he brought you. You know the things you used to struggle with, you don't even struggle with anymore because God has been good to you. The relationships or the money or the hidden issues that hang up, all the stuff you used to struggle with, your testimony. And no, can't nobody testify like you. We cannot be an eyewitness, but you're a witness to the goodness of God and what he's done for you. And you remind yourself what God has done for you. It becomes a weapon. Yeah, I'm going through right now, but he paid my rent before. And I'm going to pay on that right there. Yes, I'm going through right now. This struggle is over because if he did it before, he destroyed it. That's my testimony. Come on, somebody. My testimony becomes a weapon. Number, am I number six? I'm on number seven? It is kind of the hardest one. Obedience. Obeying God. Obedience is a weapon, church. Obedience is a weapon, church. To God be the glory. Obedience is a weapon. I heard a preacher one time said how sometimes people can't take telling. And I've never heard it quite before, guys. You can't take telling. I'm almost wrapping up. But you can't take telling. In other words, you can't take teaching. Because I have told you. I have taught you. But sometimes, some of us, God has to take us through. Amen? There's a lesson that's going to be learned when we go through. And because we go through, now the lesson has been learned, hopefully we won't repeat it. So those are the seven weapons. But write these three down also. There are three enemies that we face daily. Obviously, the devil is a weapon. The devil is an enemy. Three enemies we face daily. Three enemies we face daily on a daily basis. And I'm going to wrap this up. Number one is the devil. He's your biggest enemy. The devil. Number two, second enemy, the world. I wish I had time to go there. But in John 4, 1 John 4, He says, love not the world or the things of the world. We can have cars, we can have houses, we can have nice things. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying, don't fall in love with it. So the world can become an enemy of God. The Bible says, why gain the whole world and lose your soul? People have gone out of this world and they have lost their soul. They pierced themselves with many sorrows. I don't think I'm going to get to that last scripture. They pierced themselves with many sorrows. The devil is an enemy. The world is an enemy. And this one right here, maybe one of the most challenging, our flesh. Our flesh can be an enemy. The flesh is an enemy. Our body can be an enemy. No good thing dwells in this flesh. That can be one of the biggest struggles that we face. But that struggle is over when we submit it to God. You don't necessarily have a struggle in your flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a statement. And sometimes you want to park there. But guess what? When you feed your spirit, when you make your spirit stronger than your flesh, it ain't always a struggle to walk away from stuff that you shouldn't be involved in. We got people saying, I'm struggling in the flesh, and I did something I regret, and that's a weakness. No, it doesn't have to remain a weakness. It's a weakness now. Yeah, we have needs, I got it. But if you build your spirit man, your spirit woman up to make your flesh submit, that's why it's in the body, the soul, and the spirit. Your spirit is already new. It's already with Christ. You're already with heaven. You're already in eternity. And salvation, that's when the struggle became over because of the spirit is new. Amen. The body, the old body, going to have the same stuff that when you got saved. Going to have the same desires that come naturally to you. Going to have the same ways in heaven. The body is not going to change, but your soul is going to be determined by your mind, your will, and your emotions. And right now, we're renewing and strengthening our minds. Right now, hallelujah, we allow God to deal with our emotions sometimes. And our will, as we hear more of God's word, our will becomes lined up with his will. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this right here. Oh, boy. Acts 2. The struggle is over. I'm ending in 2 minutes, I promise you. Acts chapter number 2. Way at the end. I just need us to see this. Because this struggle should be over. We are the body of Christ for a reason. I'm going to just read Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the Apostles' Creed and fellowship and the breaking of bread together and in prayer. And fear came over every soul, and the wonders and the signs and the miracles followed the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted with them, every one. And they continued daily on one accord in the temple and in the church, breaking the bread, eating together, going house to house with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church such as to be saved. NCCM, we are on one accord. And God is going to add to our church because we get along with one another. The rich and the poor, the male and the female. There's no envy, there's no jealousy, there's no poverty. And because we like the first church, he adds to the church daily because they got it together. The rich day and the poor day, the have and the have not. The male and the female, the children and the adult, that struggle was over. And signs, wonders, and miracles follow them who believe. When we get together as a church, not just NCCM, but what's going on in Christianity as a whole, denominations of divine love, all doctrines of divine love, there's so much dimension, and God is taking the heart. God is taking the senses. God is coming down and saying, that's not what I ordained. That's not what I want from my church. I don't like all that division going on in your day. That struggle is over right now. I thank God for NCCM. He don't run from our brother. If you don't run naturally, I'm
he changed Jacob, like he changed Saul, like he changed Mary Magdalene, like he changed you and me.
So I thank God for the struggle really being over in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Lord, I thank you for this lesson. Our hands and our heads and our minds have been challenged today. God, we don't have to struggle with certain things. Jacob struggled with that identity because he knew that's not what he was. And when you named him Israel, we are still now blessed because of his obedience as Jacob. He wouldn't have changed, so Lord, help us to change for the better. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Change is good. Please join us Sunday at nccmonline.org. You can go to there, but come to our church at 1482 Maple Avenue. 1482 Maple Avenue in the city of Hillside, New Jersey. There's going to be a word from the Lord for you. And this Sunday, we're having children's church. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're having children's church. We need to give our children a chance. This world ain't in is changing. Towards us is going out of business. The world is changing. So we thank God for you visiting us Sunday, and we thank God for you in Jesus' name. Go to peace and let's serve our God. Love you. God bless.